Good afternoon. I call the Senate Resource Committee to order. Today's Friday, March 1st, 2024, and the time is 3:31 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Senator Kawasaki, good afternoon. Senator Dunbar, Co-Chair Geisel, myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilikowski is on the phone, our Vice Chair. And Senator Coughlin is excused, and we do have a quorum to do business today. So good afternoon to our recording secretary, Saab, and Mr. Dylan Williams from the LIO. We're going to take public testimony today on SB 199 state land disposal sale leased by the governor. And then we're going to take public testimony on SB 171. Hunting, trapping, and fishing by our own Senator Bjorkman. Senator Klayman, I welcome you to the committee. And SB 199, state land disposal, sale, and lease. At this time, I'd open up to public testimony. Is anyone in the room wishing to testify? Please come up and put yourself on the record.
Yeah, probably top of the list.
Yeah, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
I'm the only one on the list. John Sonan.
Yep.
S-O-N-A-N. I live over across the pond there in Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me. You used to live over here.
Yeah, I did. And I wish I didn't have to skedaddle down the hillside to get to the bus anymore, because last Sunday I took a wipe on it. I think I cracked a rib.
Well, put yourself on the record, John, in 2 minutes, please.
John Sonan, S-O-N-I-N, live over on Douglas Island, and I represent civilized humanity, as we all do, hopefully, since we're all civilized, mostly, I guess. In order to remain civil, we must tend to ourselves. First off, and that's our own health. Our own health requires a stable system of the universe or the planet, mostly. A stable system cannot function under the analytics of capitalism. And in that regard, disposing public lands, now pretty much all that maintains the system is we've come to expect from it. Not seeing it's too stable of recent years, but as we all grew up, it was a pretty stable place to be. And that instability is a result of private control over the planet system, the stasis of the system, seeking to capitalize and making a profit on the system is taking energy from it. And I could really get out there now, but the energy is everything. And removing energy and pretty much disposing of it without giving back, reciprocating that energy to the system, destabilizes it. I think public lands are our last saving grace to prevent further, not prevent, but to slow down the breakup of that system as we age now. Now, pretty much from week to week, month to month, it's getting worse. But
30 seconds, John.
Okay.
Wrap up,
I'm sorry, Chair. I'll wrap up best I can, but I'm pretty far out there. We need to maintain and conserve from the capital drive towards profit maximization the public lands we have available, bottom line. And that means leasing or disposing of the commons. Public lands is contrary to the health and sanity of the human race.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it. Thank you. Now we're going to go online. And first up, we have Leonardo Wassily from Nenana. If you can hear us, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hello. My name is Leonardo Wassily. I'm currently living in Nenana, Alaska. And I've lived in Alaska all 50 years of my life. So I'm calling to, you know, oppose any private interests of our public resources. You know, that our country was founded upon, you know, having public lands, you know, and, you know, a lot of our lands are shared resources, you know, and we utilize those in conjunction with our people in our communities and you know, we share those resources and we work together and, you know, and those aren't people trying to keep things private. Those are people in our communities that live and work there and are contributing to our local economies and, you know, and putting, you know, private, you know, putting sales of public lands into private interest and determining leases, you know, over generations is not, you know, how our public lands were intended to be used, you know. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that I hope you guys hear, you know, our voice and voicing these concerns about having, you know, outside interests, you know, controlling significant resources in our state. And they're already happening, but let's try to limit the mechanisms that can happen. And this is another mechanism that just allows the ease of this to happen. And so I certainly, you know, appreciate the time to, you know, speak out, but, you know, it's this kind of corporate domination of our public resources, you know, and
30 seconds wrap up, please.
Okay. At some point, you know, we have to decide in society, you know, do we want to involve our local communities in decisions that affect our local communities, or are we going to allow outside interests to decide those interests and make those decisions for us? So I appreciate the time and I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. And thank you all for your time and testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Wassily, thank you. We're going to Soldotna now to Morgan Aldridge. Morgan, if you can hear us, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yes, good afternoon to the chair and members of the committee. My name is Morgan Aldridge. I live in Soldotna, Alaska, and I represent the three generations of my family who have been born and raised in the state. I'm concerned with the Senate Bill 199, the implications that will have on the availability of Alaska's public lands for the future use of the people of Alaska. And I question that the disposal of public lands may not comply with the constitutional requirements around the interests of public lands and it being a transparent public process. I urge you to vote no on this, as I believe that it will undermine the process of public comment and will be detrimental to the public lands in the state of Alaska and its people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to Katie Rooks, policy analyst for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, Prince of Wales. If you can hear us, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Through the chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to testify on SB 199. My name is Katie Rooks. I've been a Southeast Alaska resident of Prince of Wales Island for 20 years, have worked in every level of government, owned a small business, and now work for a regional nonprofit. I urge you to vote no on SB 199. The bill would expand government authority to dispose of public lands by enabling two additional state departments, education and transportation, to directly sell or lease public lands to private entities for commercial development. These departments were formerly limited to government-to-government sales or leases. This bill would delete that requirement. This bill also proposes to increase lease terms by 10 years, effectively lowering monthly payment rates. This is a potential giveaway to industry when Alaska should be recouping all it can from wealthy industrial owners and operators. The bill also allows for sale of public land at 30% below fair market value. Again, another potential giveaway to industry and commercial developers. The bill implies that the public process is covered because best interest findings will be used. Best interest findings are already being grossly misused currently, and we here on POW could illustrate that claim with the Whale Pass timber sale, among other issues. Finally, and worst of all, this bill would expand the commissioner of the DNR's authority to identify any public land deemed appropriate for sale to the commercial developers, and then to reclassify those public lands if they aren't classified as appropriate for disposal. This cheats the entire process of public land and resource management. This says that the interests of Alaskans associated with these public lands are less important than those of a commercial buyer. This means that Alaskan land classifications such as wildlife habitat, recreation, or settlement would become meaningless. It means that in reality, the state could do anything it wants to public lands at any time, regardless of public input or management classifications that have been in place for decades or more. Please vote no on SB 199. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify and everything you do.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Mr. Thomas Pease, Anchorage. You put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, my name is Thomas Pease. I'm calling from Anchorage. Thanks for the opportunity to testify on SB 199. My concerns lie with Section 3, the way in which DOT would dispose of land. I encourage your committee to remove Section 3 of Senate Bill 199 for the following reason. Number one, it will give unlimited authority to a single individual, in this case, the commissioner of DOT, to dispose of public land if DNR does not act in 45 days. Section 3 spells out no process and places no restrictions on the DOT commissioner when disposing of DOT lands. If passed as written, this bill creates the potential for misuse of a public resource. Reason number two, any responsible land disposal process should seek highest and best use of the resource. This requires a process that is transparent, that is fair, and that is competitive. Instead, Section 3 grants sole authority to the DOT commissioner, a political appointee, and cuts out the public completely. Reason number three, kind of a side note, there are no maps and there appears to be no inventory of DOT lands made available to determine what lands might be eligible for disposal and it might be affected by this legislation. I think it's critical this information be made available to the public, and I also assume that such a map might be helpful to each of you as you review the content of this bill. And finally, what's wrong with the current process for disposing of DOT lands? DOT builds roads. They're not land managers. DNR employs professional land managers. Let's continue having DNR dispose of state land. So again, I urge you to cut Section 3 from this bill to address my concerns with making DOT a land disposal agent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pease, for your testimony. Adam Cuthrell, Girdwood. Put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you for the time. My name is Adam Cuthrell. I am calling in from Girdwood, Alaska. I am calling as a father and as a business owner, imploring you to not pass SB 199. Everything about this proposed bill puts Alaska and Alaska's public land at risk. Public lands not only provide significant economic revenue for our state, but by doing this, it puts that all at risk. As you well know, hunting, fishing, and tourism is one of Alaska's most vital and prospering means for economic revenue. And by passing this bill, you put that at risk. And that's why, again, I ask you to vote no on SB 199.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing anybody else in the room? Last chance. Seeing nobody. And yeah. And nobody else online. We will close public testimony. Next, we're going to go to Senator Bjorkman and come up. And if he'd like to sit at a table or stay there, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to do public testimony. SB 171, residency requirements, hunting, trapping, fishing, by Senator Bjorkman. Is anyone in the room? I'm opening public testimony. Anyone in the room would like to testify? Seeing no one in the room, we're going to go online for testimony. And first up is Stacy Kleinsmith, I believe, if I've got that right, from Chugach. And if you could put yourself on the record in 2 minutes of testimony, please.
Yes, thank you. This is Stacy Kleinsmith, and I live in Chugach, Alaska. To the chair and committee of the Senate Resources Committee, thank you for allowing an opportunity to hear from the community on SB 171. I've always valued the collective knowledge and experience, as well as the safety of being able to collaborate regarding issues at hand. However, I do have concerns with SB 171 as written, and I would encourage your opposition. I understand the intent. However, as I read through previous testimony on this, I see a lot of, I'm losing the words right at the moment, that nobody's been able to quantify the harm that they're trying to solve. However, the unintended consequences of this bill as written would affect me personally, and I can quantify the harm. As it's written and not being able to qualify if I don't qualify for the PFD, unfortunately, this year we had a bunch of health issues, and so we received treatment for my husband's brain cancer at Mayo, and then I had breast cancer, and I opted for a radical double mastectomy so I don't ever have to deal with it again. However, you might imagine that was considerable recovery time, which is not excusable under the PFD. So while I have been a lifelong Alaskan, and I currently only have a residence in Alaska, I don't ever intend to live anywhere else, this bill would effectively render me a non-resident, and thus I have to hire a guide to go hunt sheep. And so I think the unintended consequences are real and measurable. I think there are many people who might unfortunately find themselves in a circumstance like mine, and unfortunately this rolls into the next year because already I've been gone recovering from breast cancer for marching on 90 days, again, an unexcusable offense. So I would urge you to put the brakes on this. I strongly urge caution. I understand what's intended, and I think there might be a better way. So let's find it. Thank you very much.
Next, we're going to go to Ellen Hannon and Craig. Please put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please. Oh, we're going to go to David Eggleston in Thorn Bay. David, could you put yourself on the record, please?
Yes, I'm David Eggleston from Thorn Bay. I'm a retired colonel from the New York State Environmental Conservation Police and a former New York State trooper. I spent over 30 years in law enforcement enforcing state and federal laws and regulations, mainly fish, wildlife, environmental statutes, and penal law. And I'm a member of the East Prince of Wales Advisory Committee. I believe that our fish and wildlife should first feed true residents before we share it with outsiders. When we do allow non-residents to partake and harvest our resources, they should be following our rules and respecting our ways. They should pay for the privilege as we pay as non-residents in other states. This bill will not change the residency status of current Alaskans. They may retire and become snowbirds, and as long as they maintain the requirements for the PFD, they remain resident. They may leave the state for 180 days and remain residents. They may leave for even longer, such as for health issues, if they meet the requirements found in AS 43-23-008. All these vacationing fake residents are stealing resources and are not paying for non-resident licenses. Instead of taking a maximum of 3 king salmon per year as a non-resident, by faking residency, they take 2 per day. Instead of 2 ling cod per year, they take 1 per day, and so on. They have an advantage for caribou, moose, deer, bear, and other big game by claiming residency. The list goes on. Even worse, they often take advantage of subsistence harvesting resources. The financial cost to ADF&G amounts to hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. This bill will cost the state nothing, but will bring very significant amount of money to save resources. There should be no gray area when it comes to residency. We may not be able to force people to act ethically, but we can charge those who unethically play the system. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. We're going back to Craig. Looks like Ellen Hannon is back with us. Is that correct, Helen? Are you there?
I'm back. Thank you. I got dropped.
Yeah, 2 minutes, please. Put yourself on the record. I don't know if I butchered your last name. I apologize if I did.
Yeah, my name is Ellen Hannon. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I've lived 40-plus years on Prince of Wales. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about this issue. We've been following the Senate, the House bill version, and I like this version that addresses permanent licenses as well. I think that, you know, the savings that are outlined in some of the other materials about what will benefit the state, it will allow for much better law enforcement, and it will also help with once people become a resident in a rural area like we are, you become, or anywhere else in the state, become a federally qualified user, a subsistence status that allows them to, again, other benefits that are not really fitting for people who are not year-round benefits. I think that the PFD requirements to make this residency clear are long overdue, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to Fairbanks, Ken Borsek, and put yourself on the record, please, in 2 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, Ken Borsek from Fairbanks. We also have a 48-foot liveaboard boat down in Wrangell and spend a couple of months a year in Wrangell on that boat. I keep hearing this bill being referred to as something to, on the residency issue. It's really clear what the resident of Alaska is, and that's the intent to maintain a residency in the state, have an intent to return to the state, and to not have residency benefits in any other state or claim residency in another state. That constitutes a legal resident in Alaska. Now, this bill is basically categorizing those residency in a hierarchy by placing additional terms on the state law as a residency law, and requiring them to stay in state a certain amount of days before they can access a fish and game resource. So it isn't clarifying residency. It isn't doing anything other than adding additional terms to bona fide residence. I'm a 50-year Alaska resident. I've recently retired. We have set up our life retirement based around accessing this resource. I've spent money in Wrangell and other places so we can continue our lifestyle that we've done for so long. And this bill will basically put a kibosh on it. We're hovering right around 6 months out of state. We travel now. We hunt outside some and within the state. And this is just a commercial, in my opinion, grab on the resource and believe that residents can't don't have equal access to it. All residents should be treated equal as long as they maintain the legal residency requirement. I don't know. I don't have a clock. I'm probably pushing my 2 minutes. If anybody has any questions of me, I'd be more than happy to try to respond. I see it as an enforcement issue. The government fund is determined on a prior year. Hunting licenses on the current or next future year. A person could qualify for permanent fund and then the following year have a hunting license and never come on the state, come in the state other than to hunt. Consequently, it could go the other way where you don't have qualified for the permanent fund. Therefore, you're not allowed to have a hunting license, but you could come in the state in January and be here until June, which basically would qualify for the permanent fund. But yet you didn't qualify the prior year. So then you'd be entitled to a hunting license on that year, but not allowed if you have to have the permanent fund. I know it's a little bit of a confusing concept, and I suspect I'm at my 2 minutes. So yeah. Thank you for listening, and please do what you can to stop this. It's just going to kill everything I've been here for. So thanks.
Ken, could you put your thoughts? I know you've got notes there. If you want to type them up and email them into the Senate Finance. Excuse me, I was on Finance earlier today. Senate Resource
Committee.
we would appreciate it. And I do see that you have written comments in, but if anything above and beyond what you've got in your written comments that you'd like to add to the Senate Resources Committee, please add them to it. So thank you.
Okay. And I can send that in tomorrow. Is that adequate for you?
Oh, yeah. That's
good. Additional note?
Yes. Thank you. All right. That appears to cover all our public testimony, so we are closing public testimony. And it's a good thing because I just messed up the pad, so I'm done. this concludes I would like one more action item on this bill. We're going to set an amendment deadline of 5 p.m. Wednesday, March the 6th. That concludes today's meeting. It is our next meeting is Monday, March the 4th at 3:30. And on the agenda will be the first hearing of SB 217, Integrated Transmission Systems by the Governor. And we're going to have a presentation by our Alaska Rail Belt on Alaska Rail Belt transmission issues. So look forward to a good day there Monday. So we are adjourned at 3:57. Everybody have a good weekend.